resuscitators, and you have to be resuscitated. I can't believe it. First of all, I'd like to thank Anya Archi for allowing me to come here in this wonderful environment, though I perceive a little bit of tiredness and also some concerns as to some points which have been raised today. When I arrived in the morning, one of my colleagues asked me, but what do you expect from nurses? Because you are managers, while we work as nurses in the wards. Well, we're managers, but we're nurses too. We've got maybe some more responsibility, but we hope we're sharing the same objectives. Then while listening to the previous speakers, I was thinking that nurses are a strange group of people, because we've been asking for years to acquire new degrees, to be allowed to have new university training opportunities. So it is true that we have asked for many new things, but we have also been able to achieve very positive results. And in my presentation, I'll tell you that degrees and masters are not enough for critical care nurses, because knowledge and skills have to be questioned constantly. And this is the general approach which has been adopted by many professions in Europe, and not only in Europe. And anyway, in Italy, we've got to face some challenges which are shared by other European countries and by the United States. I also have to say that we share some difficulties with other professional groups, such as doctors, physical therapists, and other healthcare professionals. These problems and challenges are well known to our federation, and I represent nurses in the National CME Committee, and I have to say that it is not very easy to reconcile different interests, but this exercise is, generally speaking, very fruitful. Your presence, your attendance here, together with the number of people attending post-registration courses in Italy, are very comforting elements. And this is very important, considering that in our daily practice we're not always encouraged to improve our skills. And despite of this, many nurses are ready to be trained, they're willing to be trained. And some years ago we launched the first master courses in Italy, and for each course the number of applicants was always exceeded the number of places available. And all this in a framework where there's no legal recognition, where there's no economic or salary recognition, because very often once we acquire new skills, these new skills are not officially recognized. In spite of this, we always receive thousands of applications for every 30 or 40 places which are available for any master course. And this has been extremely comforting for our federation. We've been working together with Anya Archi in order to design new curricula for nurses. And Italian universities very rapidly have been able to offer new courses. They have, in the past 2 years, 150 new courses have been made available. Well, there are some assumptions which are shared by all of us, that is, continuous professional development represents a right and a duty for any practitioner. As nurses, we have clearly shown that professional development is something that is embedded in our practice. We have always been professionals who have been extremely aware of the importance of updating our skills. Even when CME, continuous medical education, did not exist, our training courses were always crowded. Sometimes we have really been overwhelmed by the number of applications we have received for our courses, such as psychiatric training courses, ICU training courses. So, as a professional group, we are actually very much aware of the importance of continuous professional development. And this was clearly emphasized in all the meetings I have with my European colleagues. Professional development is not only a duty, but also a right and an opportunity for practitioners. It is, of course, important to be able to organize training courses in the best possible way so that practitioners can draw the best possible benefits from training courses. Sometimes we realize that course attendance is not always carefully planned for, because sometimes in October or November we realize that we still need, say, 10 credits, and we choose one of the many training courses which are organized. So sometimes we're a bit superficial, but this is not always the case. We realize that training is essential in order to meet the challenge of change. And what has been said by Dr. Langer on risk is essential, and Elio also referred to this aspect. We've got to bear in mind that we are accountable for quality healthcare services, and quality goes hand in hand with training. If we are not aware of the fact that good training courses have to be designed, we do not realize what we're missing. Together with American colleagues, we carried out a research on near misses. And this research is extremely interesting because there are many events that we tend to neglect, but which can be extremely dangerous. And this is one of our weak points. But it's also true that we haven't got enough time. We always work under pressure. And in Europe, I think Italy is the country with the worst patient to nurse ratio. And in Italy also the number of nurses is lower than the number of doctors, so the nurse to doctor ratio is very low. And many foreign colleagues do not understand this gap between this numerical gap. or numerical divide between our profession and doctors. As an average, the doctor to nurse ratio is 1 to 5.6, while this is not the case in Italy, and this understaffing must be somehow taken into consideration, and we got to change the situation. In Italy, the doctor to nurse ratio is 1 to 0.9, and the Dutch colleague in the morning was talking about their situation in the Netherlands, and well, the situation in Italy is not comparable to the European average, but it's also true that we work under pressure, and it's very difficult to find the appropriate time to get trained and to improve skills. This, of course, lowers the healthcare services quality and increases the likelihood of mistakes and errors. So the research we're carrying out on near misses is important in order to identify those elements which may worsen the tragic figures which were illustrated by Dr. Langer. Then in Italy, there's a very specific situation. I don't know whether you were able to read our national healthcare plan. 10 strategies have been identified within this plan, and the key word in this new health plan is healthcare. In the past, other keywords were used, such as treatment. Well, now our national healthcare plan refers to the notion of patient-centered healthcare, and as nurses, we've got a specific professional profile. We are in charge of nursing care, which is provided to patients. And in the National Health Plan, this mandate, this mission is clearly emphasized. Then in Italy, the National Health Plan also refers to another aspect which is not often mentioned. That is, professional development is a critical instrument to promote practitioners' self-esteem. Very often we do not realize that we have made major contributions to the evolution of healthcare, because it is true that we make mistakes, but it is also true that we have made a wonderful contribution to extraordinary achievements. But these achievements are not often recognized. That's why we are not able to realize what we are doing, the beautiful things that we are doing, because very often we haven't got enough time to systematically reflect on what we do. While when being trained, it is possible to acquire this new dimension. You realize that it is important to work on reporting, on results, on measurement of results, and it is essential in order to improve our self-esteem. In Italy, we've got many laws, around 250,000 to 300,000 laws, and the UK have got more or less 1,500 laws, and I'm talking about an industrialized country, of course. But the advantage of having many laws is that very often situations are clearly described at the legal level. So generally speaking, we may say that our legal system is quite clear and well-defined, and continuous professional development is based on a number of rules listing our rights and duties. This is not the case in many European countries. The legal tradition is different, and this will be rapidly illustrated during my presentation.
So as you can see, there is a major difference between one country and another. And wherever there is a continuing professional development or continuing medical education program, it is normally not regulated by state laws, but rather by directives or guidelines, which come either from scientific societies or from, well, the equivalent of what we call the Collegio in Italy, that is to say the official registered nurses association, which obviously act in coordination with states or legal or authorities, but which are essentially those who are in charge of the system of continuing education. Now, this survey is a result of a number of questionnaires I sent to European, Canadian, and United States colleagues, and actually I found that in some of these countries the systems are quite similar to ours. So I have, to a certain extent, mixed the replies by European, Canadian, and USA colleagues, and data which I found in the internet and in the literature. Now, first of all, by searching the internet or the literature, I found out that there is very little in it which regards nurses. And as regards continuing medical education or continuing professional development, it's essentially about doctors. Whenever continuing professional development is mentioned for other professions, not just for doctors, well, then the other profession mentioned is the nursing profession. So quite clearly, continuing medical education is focused on doctors, but nurses are also involved. What about the systems? Well, there are different systems, and there are different governing bodies, as it were, for this continuing professional development. Now, in Italy, as you know, it is the Ministry of Health and also the regional governments which are in charge and which control the system. Actually, this morning I heard a colleague criticizing the sort of improvisation or improvised transformation of Italy into a federal state, which is in progress now. And obviously this is bringing about a conflict of competence between the central government and the regional governments, and this conflict tends to be composed then during a yearly state-regional government meeting, which occurs more or less between June and July. In other regions, it is actually regulatory bodies or professional associations or colleges which are in charge of the system. Indeed, I think that this should make us all reflect on one point. We are in the year 2004. A European constitution has been signed, and so I think that it is clear for all to see that professional education, continuing education, both as regards BSc, MSc, and PhDs, should be harmonized, especially because all European directives aim at ensuring the mobility of all workers. And so if an Italian nurse is to be allowed what it is theoretically granted, this is to say the right to work in another European country, it should enjoy the same kind of continuing education as his other European counterparts. So we do need to achieve integration and harmonization or standardization, but I'm using the term in a positive sense of the various training and educational practices of different countries. Now, there is, as you know, the European Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education, which is a European body, which was set up 2 years ago in Brussels, and which is actually involved in harmonizing post-RN education for doctors. Now, we are trying to do more or less the same for us. We have just set up a new federation, which was enthusiastically greeted by English, Spanish, Portuguese, and other colleagues, the European Federation of Health Professionals, which has the specific aim of facilitating mobility between various EU member countries. So what is the objective that we have here? Well, our objective is that of obtaining an integrated system based on the mutual recognition of credits, i.e. this means that we should be able to speak the same language as regards the way in which credits are quantified, and this has already been achieved as regards universities, although not entirely. It should be done also for the remaining CPD credits. Then quality requirements, both for educational events and providers, should be also identified, and control and evaluation criteria should also be identified. So, results. I'd like to stress again that this is a mix of replies to the questionnaire and data found in the literature. So as you can see, the first question is continuing education compulsory? There are very few countries in which this is the case. This is the case in Great Britain and Italy, for instance. In Great Britain, there is a system I'm really very fond of, because the system which is content-based rather than based on formality, while in Italy our system actually controls only the form, but not content, not the content of education. Well, I really am fond of the English system, first of all, because it is regulated by the supervisory body of the profession, that is to say, the Nursing Council, which is more or less the same of our Italian registered nurses association or colleges. And well, the point is that one should work for at least 750 hours a year, and should follow at least 35 hours a yearly theoretical courses, 35 hours theoretical courses of education and training. So it's not a formal process. Each nurse will actually certify what is done in this period, which is 3 years actually, not 1 year, 3 years, say 150 hours of practical activity and 35 hours of theoretical courses. And the nurses will certify what themselves have been done. So they are accredited, and then they are registered, and they're re-registered for 3 more years. And so for every 3 year period, they should re-register, to say they should declare that they have been following so many education and professional and practical training hours. So in Italy, the system is much more formalistic. It is characterized by a number of negative events, negative elements. The point is that we should not throw away the baby with the bathwater. We still should make the most of what we have got, because education and training are very difficult to actually bring about in Italy. The authorities, the regulators, local government or central government do not really support education and training for workers and nurses. So I believe that we have got something in Italy, although little. We should make the most of what we've got and try to correct it, but not reject it entirely, because we run the risk of losing everything. There are many other countries in which continuing education is not compulsory, but as you can see, those countries in which there is a red box, say countries in which it is not compulsory by law, still in some cases do have guidelines regarding optional but highly recommended education. So normally, how many credits are given for each hour of education? Well, normally it's one credit per hour, as is the case in the United States and Canada and in most European countries. So if continuing education is compulsory, are there any sanctions if one does not really comply? Well, in Italy, there are what we might term virtual sanctions, that is to say that they're written in the law, but actually they're not really enforced. In the UK, since it's the Nursing Council that certifies that a nurse is up to standards, if a nurse does not comply, well then before they are registered again, they should actually follow the 750 plus 35 hours of education before they are registered again. So what are the events which are the object of accreditation? Well, as you can see, we have various types of events, but they're more or less the same, courses, conferences and so on. It's interesting to note that not in all countries speakers in conferences are also given credits. In most countries, actually, this is not the case. It's only in Italy, or almost only in Italy, that speakers are also given credits. Then, who pays for continuing education? Again, I am convinced that this is a critical issue for you, because I see that very often nurses say, well, we can't be forced to opt for, or rather, we're going to be forced to undergo continuing education and be paid the same amount. Actually, the point is that continuing education, in my opinion, should take place in the workplace and it should be made at no extra cost for the worker. Actually, an educated worker, a worker who is undergoing continuing education will probably make things much more profitable, will probably turn their work into something much more profitable for the hospital, clinic or whatever. And indeed, I think that an in-depth study should be carried out in that respect in Italy, because people tend to believe that continuing education is something which is just expensive and that's it, while actually it's something which is cost-effective for the health trust or health authority or hospital or whatever, because just think of triage. I mean, outstanding medical education as regards triage will reduce the cost related to errors, as we have seen, possible lawsuits, and so on and so forth. So, I think that all hospital trusts, local health authorities, and so on should organize continuing education because it's actually cost-effective for them. So, very quickly, now, conclusions. It's very difficult to compare the various national systems. The point is, in particular, that Italy is characterized by this over-proliferation of laws in that respect, while other countries do not work on a formalistic basis. And the positive aspect is the creation of the European Federation, FEPI, which is going to cooperate with ANIATE, and probably the FEPI office in Brussels is going to be also used as it were, a sort of embassy also for ANIATE and the rest of the nursing profession. Now, it's been quite hard to set up this association. We now are members of the CEPLIS, which is the representative body of all intellectual professions in Europe. And indeed, this morning many have said that it's quite important to gain a foothold in the places where the decisions are taken for Europe. So Commission, Council, Parliament, and so these representative bodies such as FEPI, STEPLIS and so on, well, they, when they are recognized by European authorities, can really play a major role for our profession. And indeed, our profession is a profession which is giving a lot to citizens and to Europe, but which can also receive something important from citizens and from Europe in particular. Thank you very much for your attention.